Hello, and welcome back to the Peter Mackay Motorsport Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast. To follow all of our action on the Peter Mackay Motorsport Podcast, you can subscribe to the podcast for free on Podbean, which that app can be downloaded through the Apple App Store and also on Google Play as well. And if you subscribe, your phone will give you a notification every time a new episode is published, so you never miss an episode. You can also go onto our website, which is petermackaymotorsport.com, where the whole archive of all of our episodes is held. And finally, you can follow us on Twitter at Mackay Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, what you think of the podcast, what you'd like to see, what you'd not like to see in the podcast. We would be so pleased to hear from you. In today's episode, we're going to talk about last weekend's action from the Moto Grand Prix race at Aragon in Spain. And it was, well, it was home turf domination from Marquez, really cementing his position as the world champion elect. He will go into the next round in Thailand at the Buriram circuit. And if he is to score Ducati's Andrea Dovizioso, if he's to outscore him by more than 2 points, then he will be crowned world champion. And if he's not successful in doing that in Buriram, it will be very much a formality when they reach Motegi in Japan, which will be very, I'm sure, if he can't get the job done next time out in Thailand, I'm sure that his Japanese paymasters will they'll be very happy indeed to clinch another world title in their home race. But yeah, I mean, from the very first session of the weekend, as soon as the light went green in free practice one, Marc Marquez went out and just really threw down the gauntlet, went out with a soft tyre, clearly chasing a time. Normally in the free practice sessions in the beginning of the weekend, if a rider goes out with a soft tyre on, that's very much going on a what they call a time attack run. For qualifying, there's a two-section qualifying on the Saturday. You have Q1 and Q2. And Q1 has all of the riders who didn't place in the top 10 during the first three free practice sessions. So the first three free practice sessions, it's very important to get yourself into the top 10, which automatically qualifies you for the Q2 session, so you don't have to go through the Q1 session. So I think Marc Marquez, there was the chance of inclement weather over the weekend, so I think he wanted to get his time in there, so he was protected in the top 10. But also, I think there's a little bit of psychology involved. Marc Marquez, he's won, well, now the four of the last four races at Aragon, and in his total MotoGP career, he's won five out of seven. So he's pretty dominant at that circuit, and this year in particular, he has been really dominant on board that Honda RC213V. So I think there was a little bit of a psychology involved to put in that monster lap time in free practice one just to demoralise the field. I think after a turbulent meeting at San Marino, although he was able to win the race, it was not short of controversy after his clash with Valentino Rossi in qualifying. And I suspect that the young Spaniard wanted to make a point very clear that he is the dominant force in MotoGP at the moment. When you look down the championship standings, you see also how dominant Marc Marquez has been and how special he has been on the Honda bike this year. The nearest Honda to him in the championship is Cal Crutchlow on 98 points. Marc Marquez has 300 championship points to his name. Incredible how he seems to be the only guy who can get any pace out of that Honda on a consistent basis. And we'll come on to his teammate, poor old Jorge Lorenzo, in a little while, because that's another that's a separate issue altogether. But yeah, I mean, in the race on Sunday, for those that have seen it, Mark Marquez, he clearly had his consistency of pace was absolutely extraordinary. He could just knock out lap times half a second or more quicker than the other riders whenever he needed to. So you could tell that he was riding well within himself, and he was just on a nice Sunday cruise. I'm sure it wouldn't have felt like it on board, but he was definitely riding within his ability, while the others behind him battled it out for the remaining places. So yeah, I've said already, I think this is Marc Marquez's best season ever in MotoGP, and I think his performance in Aragon on Sunday certainly cemented that. And over the remainder of the season, he has the opportunity to finish a season. I mean, he's, apart from the United States of America race where he crashed out of the lead, he has been in the top two every single race. So to continue that sort of record would be almost unprecedented in MotoGP. He's been by top level MotoGP journalist Matt Oxley has said recently that it reminds him a lot of Mick Doohan's domination back in the 1990s, who of course was riding for Repsol Honda at that time. So there's a lot to there's a lot of similarities there. Well, also, what did we see? We saw Ducati making a nice return to form. They struggled over the last couple of races, but the Aragon circuit, there's large sections of the Aragon circuit which really suits the Ducati. It's got a huge, long back straight, a downhill back straight, where the pace advantage of the Ducati is absolutely extraordinary. If you look at the top speed charts, where there's a speed trap at the bottom of that straight, Andrea Dovizioso is the top of those speed charts with a top speed of 346 kilometers an hour. Extraordinary. If you compare that to the Yamahas, so the Ducatis have the top four positions in the speed trap. The bottom three, so the very slowest through the speed trap, are Valentino Rossi, Fabio Quartararo and Franco Morbidelli, all riding Yamahas. Morbidelli being the slowest of those three on just 331 kilometers an hour. So the Yamahas are giving up far too much down the straight. But when you consider that Maverick Vinales finished only 5.8 seconds behind Marc Marquez, and Fabio Quartararo only 8.9 seconds behind the winner, it shows you just how much time, how well those guys were riding, how much times it was visibly clear how prominent they were in the middle section of the lap, where Aragon has a lot of very, very long constant radius corners, which suits the Yamaha down to the ground. So there was areas of the circuit which were very favourable to the Yamaha, and that's why they weren't too far off the pace of the winner and right there in the leading battle. And Andrea Dovizioso, who finished the race in second place, he actually said that the problem is between Alex Rins on the Suzuki, also a bike that suits these long sweeping corners, and Franco Morbidelli. He said that their problems when they clashed on the first lap, that gave Andrea Dovizioso, that gave him the opportunity to finish in second and to be able to look after his tyre to be able to make it to the end of the race in second place. So it was Ducati. It was a return to form from Ducati, and in particular Jack Miller. Jack Miller put in an absolutely wonderful performance. The young Aussie, the 24-year-old, he's now, feels like he's been in MotoGP for quite a long time now. He's certainly been in the paddock for quite a long time. He came into MotoGP, the first guy to jump from the Moto3 class right up to MotoGP. So he skipped the Moto2 class that most riders will go through. So in 2015 he came to the LCR Honda team, and in 2016 he went to a full fat MotoGP bike with the Mark VDS Honda team, and won at a very wet Assen in 2016. But since then he hasn't climbed the podium until the 2019 season, and the 2019 season has very much been the breakout year for Jack Miller. You can tell he's really comfortable with that Pramac Ducati team. He seems to really Jack Miller really seems to fit in the kind of slightly more casual environment of an independent or a satellite team than in a full factory team. And I think the combination of Jack Miller being in the Pramac team, a team and environment which he clearly relishes and he's clearly happy in, but with the very top spec of a Ducati Demosedici bike, which he's got the equipment but also the environment around him to succeed. And this year he's had three podiums so far this season, which is fantastic. He's scored 117 points and he's only 6 points behind the debut star Fabio Quartararo, who's been the absolute sensation of MotoGP this year. You know, Fabio Quartararo has been the one who's been getting a lot of the headlines for his performances, and rightly so. But Jack Miller's not far behind him in the title chase. And also, if you consider that Jack Miller's been, he crashed a little bit more often than Fabio Quartararo, it shows that when he is finishing races, he's finishing them very, very strongly. And it's interesting, Jack Miller, he's going to continue with Pramac Racing, and Danilo Petrucci has kept his seat in the factory Ducati team, but the fortunes of those two men now are really contrasting. If you go back to the Italian Grand Prix when back in early June, when Danilo Petrucci pulled off an incredible victory at Mugello in front of his home fans, it was very clear who was the top dog at Ducati alongside Andrea Dovizioso. It was definitely Petrucci. But over the last few seasons, over the last few races, and heading into the second part of the season, Jack, that has very much changed. Danilo Petrucci is really struggling with his Ducati at the moment, and Jack Miller has come to the fore. So, like anything in MotoGP, all of the circuits have their own little, they have their own character, they have their own little nuances that suit certain riders, and it appears that it's definitely Jack Miller's time at the moment. But you never know; it can swing back round again. So that's Ducati. Well, I want to talk about the Yamahas, in particular Valentino Rossi. Valentino Rossi had, well, a really, really difficult day at Aragon on Sunday, even more difficult than he expected. I think he was expecting to be in maybe top five, top six, maybe the outside chance of a podium, but he didn't expect to be languishing back in eighth position, 23 seconds from the victory. And, you know, you've got Aleix Espargaró on the Aprilia, a long way up the road, and Cal Crutchlow on the Honda, a long way up the road as well, and both of his Yamaha stablemates, Maverick Viñales and Fabio Quartararo, even further up the road. So I'm sure that was incredibly frustrating for Valentino Rossi, but it sounds like the same issues that he's been experiencing throughout the season. So in his interview with on the MotoGP World feed at the end, after the race, he's highlighting it was rear grip issues, and basically when they have this rear grip issue, when they're struggling for grip on the rear tire, it's damaging the rear tire and making the problem worse, so it's kind of compounding itself. Yamaha have been experimenting with a carbon fiber manufactured swing arm, which is a section at the rear of the bike that you'll see that's sort of connecting onto the rear axle, basically, and it's in a very, very important part of the bike for how it handles, how it delivers its power, how it feels to the rider, and changing to carbon fiber is a very, very big change, and it seems to be that seems to be where MotoGP is heading towards carbon fiber swing arms, but Yamaha are having to try lots of things to try and get this bike to give the feel that Rossi requires. You've got to remember that although Rossi's changed his riding style quite a lot over the last few years, and most famously so in the 2015 season when he very nearly won the title. But remember, because he's incredibly experienced, he came onto prototype machinery nearly 20 years ago now. And although he has changed his style, there will still be a lot of ingrained DNA in him that will still be a big part of how he rides a motorcycle and how he rides a motorcycle throughout a race. Quartararo particularly and Vinales, they will have a slightly different approach, sometimes which works, sometimes which doesn't. We certainly see the normal form for Valentino Rossi is usually to finish ahead of his qualifying position, whereas that we couldn't have said that always about Maverick Vinales in the past. So let's see how the season's going to finish. I mean, regardless of what the rear grip issues are, if Yamaha want to fight for, even to fight for race victories, and particularly if they want to fight for a world championship next year, they've got to get just more horsepower out of that engine. It's just very, very simple. They can't afford to be dropping, you know, 15 kilometres an hour on a straight. That's you're never going to compete like that. That being said, for the fan, it does make, particularly for a circuit like Aragon, okay, we saw Marc Marquez clear off into the distance, but if you look at the differences between each motorcycle, I mean, the Yamaha and the Ducati are two very, very different motorcycles. You couldn't get two more different approaches. The Ducati is very, very good in a straight line. Acceleration is unbelievable, and the top end speed is just absolutely electrifying, and has very good braking stability, so it's a very difficult machine to overtake. However, you have the Yamaha, which is very, very good around the corners, very, very good around high corner speed, and has very, very good high corner speed. Even if you watch somebody like Quartararo riding beside someone like Marquez, Quartararo's mid-corner speed is far superior. The Ducati is one that probably has one of the lowest mid-corner speeds and makes it up on the straight. So, but what that does is it opens up having the differences between those motorcycles, that encourages quite a lot of overtaking, because there's different, they're faster at different sections of the track. Although their overall lap time might be very, very similar, they're showing different pace at different parts of the track, and that can make for really, really exciting racing. And we certainly saw that between, you know, Dovizioso and Vinales and Miller and Quartararo, people like that. Trading places with the vast differences between their motorcycles. And if you look at we'll talk about Vinales and Quartararo for a second. I think both of them, they really handled the situation on Sunday very, very well. They could have easily been pushed into a mistake and crashed, because they were losing so much time a lot down the straights. It was so vivid and so obvious. Although you can look at the top speed times all you like, but when you see a bike just clear off and pull 5, maybe even 10 bike lengths over the length of a long straight, then it's very obvious for all to see just how much time the Yamahas are losing in a straight line. Sometimes not always clear to see on the television, but it certainly was at Aragon on Sunday. So Vinales and Quartararo, they did all that they could with their superior corner speed, rode really, really well, and both managed to get into the top 5, very close to the podium. I think a podium for both those guys was just going to be so difficult with two fast Ducatis, with Andrea Dovizioso and Jack Miller. So it's really pleasing to see Maverick Vinales. He's a top level rider. He's a MotoGP winner, multiple MotoGP race winner. He deserves to be up the front. He's on a bike that deserves to be up the front, I think. But we've seen him have some peculiar races where he'll drop back and kind of not show on his promise of overall speed compared to his qualifying performances. So it's good to see him managing the situation and getting the best out of it. Well, I want to talk about poor old Jorge Lorenzo. This is it has been painful to watch the overall saga that has been the 2019 season for Jorge Lorenzo. Before we begin about Jorge Lorenzo, please remember that Jorge Lorenzo is a 5-time world champion. He's a 3-time MotoGP world champion, and all those three titles have been acquired since 2010. So that is worth remembering. He's won 2010, 2012, and 2015. So he is no fool, and he won races last year on the Ducati. He's one of the best MotoGP riders statistically, and you know has delivered so many fantastic performances over the year. If you just watch back, if you're ever concerned about is Jorge Lorenzo a top level rider or not, go back and watch the 2010 season, and you'll see a dominant force in only his third season in the championship at that point. However, the 2019 season has just been a disaster for him. He's been fighting with horrible injuries throughout the years, spinal injuries, vertebrae injuries, very complex, and that is undoubtedly affecting his performance. However, as many speculated when he signed with Repsol Honda for this year, many speculated that the bike would not be suitable to his style. He has a completely opposite style to Marc Marquez, if you like. Marc Marquez has a bit of a, you know, aggressive fight the bike Honda style, and Lorenzo has very much of a smooth Yamaha corner speed style, to put it in basic terms. So there was a lot of concern whether Lorenzo would be able to suit the Honda bike. It would appear that at the moment the bike does not suit him. And when you couple that, but if he were in full physical fitness and proper condition, even if the bike didn't suit him, we wouldn't see him 46 seconds behind his teammate, the winner of the race. They've basically got the Repsol Hondas bookending the results. Marc Marquez at the front and Jorge Lorenzo at the back. But when you listen to he was interviewed by Gavin Emmett of BT Sport, very well interviewed, because of a very, very difficult situation to interview a five-time world champion who's just finished last. That's very difficult for a journalist to do that without offending the rider, but also to try and get some information of what happened. And what Jorge Lorenzo mentioned was that he says that they're really struggling with, he referred to it as the standard setting. He says the standard setting of the bike is not giving him the rear grip. Now, we could speculate, does he mean, is that a Marc Marquez setting? Is that the way that the bike has been developed around Marc Marquez? And you can't blame Honda for developing the bike around Marc Marquez, because, well, it's clearly working. So they'd be silly not to. But if they're to have a rider of Jorge Lorenzo's quality and pedigree over the years, obviously they've got a lot of work to do to try and modify that bike on his side of the garage on the 99 machine to try and get a little bit more pace, because he still has one more year left in his contract. And I think Jorge Lorenzo, he seems to be pretty stubborn that he's gonna carry on, and he's gonna make the best of it. And when he was being interviewed, he wouldn't be drawn really too much on his physical condition. He didn't want to make too much of an excuse about that. And he also, interestingly, he also mentioned the 2016 Michelin tyres and then also the Bridgestone tyres before that as being much more preferable to his style. So I think perhaps also the Michelin tyre, again, another one talking about drop of rear tyre. So the rear tyre with Michelin, it really seems to be a bit of a concern for a lot of riders, but for Jorge Lorenzo in particular, it really is. So let's see. You never know. I think this season is more or less a write off for Jorge, but some good winter testing, no injuries into next season, and you just never know, you might be surprised. We saw this with him with Ducati. He didn't win in his first season in Ducati, but he did in his second season, so I would never bet against seeing Lorenzo up the front next year. It'll be a big ask, it's a big climb, he's got a long way to go, but all I would say is do not write him off, because many are at the moment, but do not write him off. The last thing I want to talk about in this episode is the long lap penalty. So the long lap penalty is something that's been introduced in MotoGP this year, where the rider, if a rider is received a penalty for whatever reason, there's a section of track that basically runs around the outside of the corner, effectively penalising the rider by usually a couple of seconds or so to do the long lap to do the long lap penalty, perhaps more depending on the circuit. And Alex Rins was involved in a clash on the first lap. Quite a typical first lap incident, you know, went in on the brakes a little bit too hot, in fact, far too hot, and couldn't quite pull the bike up before he clashed with Franco Morbidelli. And Alex Rins managed to stay on his bike, but Franco Morbidelli wasn't so lucky and ended up in the gravel trap. Completely not his fault, but unfortunately can happen in racing. Now, Alex Rins was given a long lap penalty for this incident, which he completely accepted. And as many have speculated around the paddock, that he got off very lightly with that. And I have to be honest, I would agree. The reason why I say that is because if you look at Cal Crutchlow, where he had a couple of millimeters of movement within his grid box, and that was classified as a jump start, and he was given a ride through penalty. Now, a ride through penalty can be in the region of 30 seconds in a MotoGP race. Now, that doesn't just ruin your race; that just means you're very unlikely to even score points. Such is the competitive nature of MotoGP in 2019. But a long lap penalty, of course, is only costing you a couple of seconds. So, I would say I think yes, it was quite a lenient punishment for Alex Rins, but it could have been that you have two long lap penalties. I'm not sure, but one thing is for sure, that the ride through penalty for jump starts, I think using the long lap penalty for the jump starts, depending on the nature of the or depending how blatant the jump start is, I think that would be a better use of it, because I think there's a little bit, you know, the long lap penalty for taking another rider out of the race seems a little lenient, and certainly the ride through penalty for a minor jump start is far too harsh, I think. The one thing about MotoGP is they do try things, and they do take on the opinion of the riders in particular, and you never know, you might see that introduced in the MotoGP rules going forward. So, thanks again for listening to this episode, this little review of the MotoGP in Aragon. If it's bike sports that's your thing, check out our recent episode on the Misano race last weekend in MotoGP, and also our review of the British Superbikes in Assen. We've got a great run of racing coming into the end of the year, both in British Superbikes, MotoGP, World Superbikes, and we will do our very best to cover all of them if we can. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Podbean. It'll allow you to look back at all of our older episodes and never miss a new episode when they come out. Follow us on Twitter at Mackay Podcast, and also check out petermackaymotorsport.com to check out our podcast and also some of the articles that I've been writing on motorsport recently as well. Thanks very much for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.